get lots of action. Have my radio playing on my rock and roll station. Saw three hot ladies down by the square. I said, jump in, girls, let's go party somewhere.
Crank it on, blow it out. Ramp it on, let's party now. Crank it on, blow it out. Ramp it on, let's party now.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Larry Francis, but you know me better on Instagram as A Wrestling Historian. And today on To Be Determined, I have my guest with me. She is former women's champion and legend in the business, Jazz. How you doing today?
I'm great, Larry. How are you?
Not too bad. I appreciate you coming back to the show. I know last time we had you on, it was when I was working with Jimmy, but this time I want to expand on your career.
Let's go for it. Let me have it.
For the listeners out there, could you give us a bridge version of your life story before you got into the business?
Before I got into the business, I was young, early 20s, just really hadn't decided what I want to do in life. I got injured playing basketball. I had a basketball scholarship, full scholarship. And once I got injured, it just took the love of basketball away. So, unfortunately, I didn't finish college, but it was a great learning experience. And I met up with one of my schoolmates, and he had been going to Arkansas to train with Don Bass, and he told me I should go as well because I've always been very athletic my whole life. I just grew up around all kinds of sports because my family played sports. We had our own baseball field behind our house way before I was born. I mean, this is coming from my grandfather started that. So always been into softball. I played basketball, ran track. Can't think of anything else. But being that I was very athletic, he asked me to get in the wrestling business and go train with them. So my first answer was hell no, because growing up in Memphis, you know, we had USWA, and it just seemed like to me I just couldn't go out there and do that. But he finally convinced me. I went to a training session with him in Arkansas and got in there. First of all, it wasn't a ring, but I was so green, I had no clue what it should have been looking like or what I should have been expecting anyway. But it was like a square with like a water hose or something wrapped around the ring. To me, that's what it looked like. I'm sure it was cables, you know, now that I know. But that's what it seemed, as if it was. And once I got in there and tried to take a bump, I banged my head a couple of times. I was like, nah, this ain't for me. So then I quit. And I guess maybe 6 months later, I decided, well, let me just try to be a valet or something. So I managed a few guys up there in Memphis, and actually one of my friends, Reggie B. Fine, had walked me into a USWA show, and he told Jerry Lawler that I could wrestle. And I'm like, dude, why the hell you tell that man I could wrestle? He's like, oh, just be quiet. You got it, sis. So, lo and behold, I went in there. I was supposed to have a match with Miss Texas, which is Jacqueline. And Miss Texas was a, you know, just a badass, kick-ass chick. And she pinned me in 10 seconds. But the funny thing about it is that once I finished, Lala was like, oh, my God, you did great. Great job. I'm like, but I lost in 10 seconds. He was like, you did great. So after that, that's when I received a message that Junkyard Dog was running a school in Louisiana, and I decided to pursue it. And that's when I packed up, got on the Greyhound, and went to Louisiana and start training.
Unfortunately, I never got to meet the Junkyard Dog, but I hear all these great stories. What should younger fans know about him?
He's most definitely one of a kind. I mean, Junkyard Dog was I figured he was kind of like me. He was before his time, you know, but he was top. He was the top dog. He sold out, main evented many, many arenas. He got the key to New Orleans. I mean, this is an African American man back in the 80s, you know, the 70s, the 80s. So I'm sure every parents and grandparents, I guarantee you, they know who Johnny Gargano is.
How long were you trained by him?
It lasted with Dog, I'd say, about a couple of months. I really don't know what happened after that. He kind of just went and did his own thing. I don't know, he moved. Because him and I were roommates, and once I moved out, I don't know what happened. We ran into him at a show at a casino one night, and like the next week, that's when he had his accident and died. So I really don't know what happened with Dawn.
Were you a wrestling fan growing up?
Yes, I was. My parents were big wrestling fans. Like I said, I grew up on USWA all my life in Memphis, so every Saturday morning, you know, we watched wrestling. And we couldn't wait to hear about what happened Monday night at the Mid-South Coliseum. We could not wait. So most definitely a wrestling fan. And then when Cable Network came out, Cable, oh my God, that's when we got to see the all the different territories, you know. So it was pretty cool.
What was your experience with Jerry Lawler?
I don't know. Jerry Lawler, it's hard to describe, you know, Jerry Lawler, and it's hard to put into words what, you know, I would say about him. He's a great commentator, you know. I mean, I like him as a person, and he does his job really well. He just always seems to have something bad to say when I wrestle. But my husband tell me that was his job, so I believe that one alone.
Is it fair to say it's more like tough love?
Yeah, tough love. Well said. Tough love.
How'd you join Extreme Championship Wrestling?
So, after Dog left the school, another gentleman named Rugged Rod Price came through, and he started running the school. And a lot of people don't know who Rod is. He wrestles, he's from California. And he did a lot here in Texas, but he was also Stone Cold's first tag team. But anyway, yeah, he started running the school, so that's how I met up with Rodney and started training with him as well. And and once he got in with ECW, he told us that they were going to come to Louisiana and do a loop. So he's like, why don't y'all come in and do a tryout? I let Dreamer know and talk to Paul. So I've only trained literally 6 to 8 months, literally. Rodney's had maybe 10, 15 matches, you know, underneath his belt. And I've had maybe 2, if that. And once they got to Louisiana, Rodney and I drove up. I think it was Baton Rouge. I don't know if it was Lake Charles or Baton Rouge. But anyway, we walked in and met up with Rod. And it was already set up for us to do a tryout. So the first night, I didn't do a tryout because I watched the show and I saw with Francine and Dawn Marie, you know, their characters. And I was like, I don't think they would want anybody like me. You know, I'm not going to be up there in a bikini, stripping down, my boob showing. Like, I don't think they want to see that. But anyway, didn't do it the first night. The second night, Dawn Marie walked up to me. She's like, girl, don't you wrestle? I was like, yeah. She's like, what's your tryout? I was like, but I don't think, you know, I fit the part. And she was like, girl, shut your mouth and just get in there and show them what you got. And so when I got dressed, and that's what I did, I worked Jason Knight for my tryout. And it was really crazy because the whole freaking roster were around the ring. But we did our thing, got a big pop, and I ran out the ring because I was blown up and butterflies were still flying all in my guts. Went to the nearest bathroom.
How's Paul Heyman as a boss?
Awesome. I like him as a boss, you know. He's so creative, and he knows exactly the picture he has in his head. He knows he can tell you exactly what he's looking for and what he wants, and he'll help you get there to deliver it. So Paulie is the man.
Now you're on a bigger platform. What was that like for you?
Well, like I said, I was so young and still green as far as in the business to where I had no clue the opportunity that was given to me. I was just that green, you know. And back there, listening to the guys called Spots and all that was just mind-blowing because I had no clue what the hell they were talking about. All they were saying was F this, F that, hit you with the F and this, hit you with the F and that, run, hit you with the F, you know. Oh my God, it was crazy. But all I would do is ask, okay, now what am I supposed to do? And I get with Jason. I'm a Jason, so when he does this, what is that my cue for me to do this or do that? He's like, yeah, that's your cue. And that's basically how I learned. I learned on the fly out there. And you know, as time went on, I began to understand it a little bit better. And next thing you know, they threw me out there in matches. So it was awesome. Awesome experience.
The ECW fans would tend to get out of control. Were you intimidated by that, or did you thrive on it?
Oh, man, that was an adrenaline rush, you know. And it was awesome. When the crowd get hyped and you never know what's going to happen, that's when you sit up and like, oh, shit, about to go down now. But we had a great security, which was Atlas, and they didn't play. They did not play. So if anyone did anything, I guarantee you, I hope they had 15 buddies with them that night, because Atlas was going to put them down.
At Heatwave 1999, you wrestled Jason Knight. Was that hard for you because it was an intergender match?
No, it wasn't hard. The only thing hard about it that I knew was going to be pay-per-view, you know, but no, it wasn't hard at all. By then, I felt I was mentally and physically prepared for it, and I was ready to go out there and show the world who I was. I mean, I left home, I left my family and everything to be a professional wrestler, and that was my time to shine. Instead of being a part of an entourage, you got to know who Jazz was. And that was the debut of Jazz.
I heard the ECW locker room was like the Wild Wild West. Is that accurate?
It could be. But, you know, everybody went out there and worked professionally and took care of one another. But, you know, it was like a co-ed.
Who were you close with during your time there?
Wow, a few people. We traveled a lot together. I traveled with, what was her name? Angel Orsini. Prodigy. Her and I traveled together a lot. And Lita, when she got there, you know, she was this congeniality. Her and I traveled a little bit together. You know, everyone was close. I mean, it was just one big family, so.
Did anybody take you under their wing?
I guess you could say Paulie and Dreamer, I would say. Because they had this vision of what they, you know, wanted me, my persona to be. And the good thing about it, it pretty much just came natural. So they let me be who I am, but turned up to 100. No, I say turned up to probably 50.
What was your reaction when you heard the news that the company was closing down?
Feelings were hurt. Oh my God. It was really, really hurt. Because like I said, everyone got along. It was just such a big family. There was no politics. Because the whole thing with wrestling, you just want to wrestle, right? That's all we want in any locker room is to wrestle. But we knew for certain every night, ECW, everyone was going to get to work. Only time they didn't work was probably pay-per-view. But still, they had dark matches. So, you know, out of 100 people in the back, I'm just using the number, out of 100 people in the back for a pay-per-view, I would say 90 worked. So, that just goes to show you how they are. Even if it had to be a four-man, eight-man tag, you know, they were going to make it work some kind of way so everybody could get out there and shine. Because everybody busts their butts, you know. Everybody busts their asses, man, from the ring crew on to the top dog.
How'd you get hired by the WWF?
Paulie set up for me to do a tryout. Because by then he was there doing commentary. So he had set up for me to do a tryout. And I showed up and had my tryout match with Ivory. And Ivory was so awesome. So awesome. She came and introduced herself to me and said she had heard a lot of great things about me from Molly. So she's like, tonight is going to be your night to shine. This match is all about you. And that's what she did. She made the match all about me and she made me look like $1 million. I love Ivory for that. Always will.
You made your WWF debut at Survivor Series 2001. This was from the Coliseum in Charlotte, North Carolina. You were in a six-pack challenge for the Women's Championship against Trish Stratus, Ivory, Jacqueline Moore, Lita, and Molly Holly. What was it like to compete against all those women in the same match?
Great feeling, great experience. That's what I was there for, you know. I really wanted to wrestle each and every last one of them. So, all I needed was opportunity. Unfortunately, the opportunity didn't happen for us all to work one another, but, you know, I had majority of my matches with Trish, which I think those were some kick-ass matches. So, men in the six-pack, as you call it, was pretty good, you know. A hell of a way to debut, I would say.
Now, on January 7th, 2002, on Raw, this is when you made your debut in Madison Square Garden. How'd it feel to be there?
Just to go there, I don't give a damn if it's for a concert or whatever. You just want to have the experience of going. And then once you're the actual performer that people are coming to see, it makes it, you know, 1,000 times better. So, you know, again, I'm just a little country African-American girl from Memphis, Tennessee. Mobile, next thing you know, I am at Madison Square Garden.
And then on January 14, 2002, this is on Raw from the American Airlines Arena in Dallas, Texas. You wrestled Jacqueline. And in a way, this was kind of full circle because this is where you began your career.
Jackie is a sweetheart, you know. Love working with Jacqueline. My dream actually would be to tag with her, but it didn't happen in WWF or E. So, but yeah, that was like one of my idols, you know. She was the only African-American woman that I had actually seen that much on TV as a wrestler. And I mean, she kicked ass, she kicked women ass, she kicked men ass, you know. I had no clue what I was going to end up doing, but it turned out I ended up doing the same thing. Just two ass kickers.
At Royal Rumble 2002 from the Phillips Arena in Atlanta, Georgia, you had your first of many matches against Trish. What was it like to go against her in round one for the title?
Everything changes. First of all, when you walk through that curtain, before you even get to the ramp, when you up that gorilla, your mindset is just so different, you know, than you walking in the back of the locker room and eat catering. Totally different. So to know this a championship match, you know, we most definitely got to bring our A-game. And that's what it was all about, us just going out there showing the world that we are women, we are powerful, we are strong, we are professional wrestlers, we're not tits of ass. We're here to perform and give you some freaking great competition, and that's what we did.
When you take Lita out of the picture, many people, including myself, will say that you were Trish's greatest rival. Why do you think that feud worked out so well?
Because she was so loved, and I actually was the heel that people hated. Where, you know, now most people, they cheer for everyone, but I had actual heat. I think I was one of the first ones. Charlotte she's got heat, you know. But still, people love her, you know. And it's all about respect. And people love me, too. They hate me, but they love me, you know. They respect the work. Respect the craft. But I had legit heat. Like, seriously. So many people walked up to me and like, oh, my God, I was so afraid of you when, you know, when I used to watch you wrestle. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I didn't do nothing that bad for you to be afraid.
On February 4, 2002, from the Thomas & Mack Center in Las Vegas, Nevada, you defeated Trish to become the women's champion. What was going through your mind in the moment that changed your career?
When you've never been there and you've never held that title, you really don't even know what to expect. You really don't know how you're supposed to act, you know. It's totally different being a champion on the Indies. You know, I've had probably 300 belts on the Indies, but when you're a champion in the WWE, I mean, you're put on a very, very high pedestal, you know. So I had to just mentally tell myself that I'm ready for it. This is why I'm here. You know, again, there's a little black girl outside playing baseball with a stick and a rock because I didn't have nothing else to do. Now I'm on national TV and about to be the women's world champion.
How far did you know in advance, or you didn't know until you got to the building that night?
I didn't know until I got to the building.
I know that moment had to be special for you because it's not often people of color got to hold a belt in that company.
Exactly. Exactly. So true, my friend. So true.
At WrestleMania 18, you defended the Women's Championship against Trish Stratus and Lita from the Sky Dome in Toronto, Canada. How did it feel to be on the grandest stage of them all?
Now, that was my championship moment right there. It really gets no bigger than that. You know, again, that's like, man, that's like just, oh my God, everything just wrapped up all in one. For WrestleMania, I mean, not only are you the champion for the company for probably, I guess it was probably 3-4 months, then you're in Mania with the title, and you beat the top two girls in the company, Lita and Trish. Then you walk out of the ring still holding the title.
And then at Backlash 2002, this was from the Kemper Memorial Arena in Kansas City, Missouri, you had another rematch against Trish. How would you compare this one to the Royal Rumble match?
Royal Rumble, Trish was the champion. This Backlash, I'm the champion. So my mentality is like, you're not going to take what I have. And if you are, you better bring it. Because I'm not just going to give it to you. And that's my mentality all the time, you know. If you want to kick my ass, you really got to kick it. Because I ain't going to just poke it out there and give it to you. You got to come get it.
At Insurrection 2002, you had a tag team match with Molly Holly against Jacqueline and Trish.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. The only thing I would say about that, I think that's when my ACL completely just went out on me, my knee. I had been having problems with my ACL for a few months, but I just kept wrestling on it, you know. But once, because the trainer would just tape it up for me, and I kept going. You know, I'm the champ. I can't go sit down and be on the bookshelf, you know. Hell no. So there in England, it just completely went out in the middle of the match. But of course, I finished the match.
On May 13, 2002, this was from the Air Canada Center in Toronto, Canada, you had to defend the women's title in a hardcore tag team match with Steven Richards against Trish Stratus and Bubba Ray Dudley.
Yeah, I think I went through the table on that one. That was when I completely went out to prepare for my surgery.
Were you afraid that might be it for you, or did you know you were coming back?
Yeah, was I down? Hell yeah, I was down. Just depressed, you know. I finally reached it and had the belt. Then next thing you know, I'm out. So, man, yeah, it was a very depressing time. But I had to mentally tell myself, you know what, get knocked down, but we get back up. just like riding a bike. You're gonna fall, get some scrapes and bruises, but you always get back up and get on the bike and start back riding. So that's what I did. My husband Rodney, he was right there by my side and helped me rehab. I mean, he had me running up hills with someone on my shoulders. I mean, oh yeah. And I came back even stronger.
Yeah, you were out for a while.
It gave me time to understand what's really going on and to really study the craft a little bit more, you know. So when I went back, I really understood what I was doing, who I was, who I had became. And that's why you can tell the difference. If you watch matches prior to the surgery, you'd be like, wow, it's a big difference. It's a big difference in my performance.
How long did it take you to recover?
Probably about 6 months, but they kept me out of basically probably 10 months they kept me out.
Now, I'm a sucker for a good love story. How'd you meet Rodney?
I met Rodney at, I actually met him at a show. I was training with Junkyard Dog, and he had told me, hey, J-Dog, he called me J-Dog. J-Dog, got a name Rodney. I was like, oh, okay. So we ended up going to the show, and he was there. That's how we met. Next thing you know, we started training together. Then he started coming and waking me up at night to go work out in the gym. And that's how everything started. We both had other things on our mind at the time. We were both trying to make it. It wasn't about, you know, falling in love, getting married, or none of that. It just happened. Honestly, it did. It just happened.
How long did you guys date before you tied the knot?
A couple of years. We've been married 19 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I try to always put. We're the true power couple of professional wrestling. We are. We're the only two that were both, you know, perform in the ring for the whole span of our marriage. And still.
You made your in-ring return against Molly Holly on Raw. This was from the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. And what really stuck out to me about that match is that's when I first saw you do that submission move, the bitch clap.
Like I said, you know, you can if you watch matches prior to surgery and after the surgery, you can see a whole different person in that ring, you know. But like I said, I came back even hungrier than I was when I came the first time, my debut. So, you know, I really had to make a statement when I did my return.
Molly Holly doesn't get enough credit. What'd you think of her back then?
I love Molly. Molly is so awesome. She's brutally honest. I really love that about her. I mean, you ask her a question. If you don't want to know the truth, don't ask. I love Molly. I love Molly. It's great to work with. Easy to work with. You know, she understands the business. So, which that makes it 10 times easier to work with. So, I always give Molly props. Always.
And then this led to your feud with Victoria. And to me, it was a natural fit. You had the baddest bitch against Crazy Chick.
Yeah, and I thought that would have been money in the bank too, man, you know, but some things that will work, offers don't want it to work, so therefore they don't give you that opportunity. But yeah, the few matches we had I thought was freaking killer. That would have been some bad freaking program between Victoria and myself.
How's Victoria to be around?
A ball of fun. Oh, my God. You're going to laugh even if you're just laughing at her. You're going to laugh. Yeah, she's all about having fun, and which we all are. You know, you can't be so serious all the time. You got to have a little break and just kick back and enjoy. Enjoy the moment.
And then at WrestleMania 19, you had another triple threat match for the title, except they replaced Lita with Victoria. How do you compare with this match to the previous one?
This one was, I would say pretty much almost the same feeling, but, that pay-per-view there, that Mania there, you know, it sticks out that, I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed it, but it was a lot of political shit going on during that time. But I still think we went out there and showed the world once again what we were about. So, we had fun. We got our point across.
Well, they paired you up with Theodore Long. What was that like for you?
That was like the best. You know, having Teddy out there talking shit, man, that was great. You know. Yeah, it was about the man keeping us down. Teddy's awesome. Teddy's been around so long, you know, he knows the business. He's a great mentor. You know, he's been with that company for years, so sometimes he would like to put us on game and smarten us up and let us know sometimes, you know, what we shouldn't do. But, you know, I feel it's my life, my career. Hell, I'm going to speak up.
That's the thing about Teddy, too. Like, he took that manager role seriously.
Well, we were all about just really being who we are with Teddy. I mean, Teddy came along and he just added more, you know, cayenne to the pot, you know. And he was just that little extra kick of cayenne pepper. So, you know, it just made the trio just brutally strong. And then when Rodney started tagging with Mark Henry, like, man, like, he had a badass stable. It's not our fault they didn't really put the stable over like they should have. But he had a badass stable. The World's Strongest Man, Rodney Mack, Jazz, oh my God.
And then at Backlash 2003, you defeated Trish to win back the Women's Championship. This was from the Centrum in Worcester, Massachusetts. Out of all the matches that you had with her, I really enjoyed this one the most.
And that's when everybody was just feeling good and happy about everything that was going on, you know. It was just, we were just one little family traveling together and enjoying ourselves, talking about, you know, what we need to do as a team, you know. So, great moments, just fun times.
At Judgment Day 2003 from the Coliseum in Charlotte, North Carolina, you defended the Women's Championship against Jacqueline, Trish, and Victoria. You're used to working triple threat matches. How's that compared to a Fatal 4-Way?
I don't like neither one. If it's not a tag, I hate it. Now, Battle Royals is a little bit different because everybody in there, you know, we're just going for it, you know, but them damn triple threats and them 4-Ways, oh my God, this could be complicated. Very complicated. But everything worked out with ours. So, I mean, we had fun. No one got hurt. It was pretty awesome.
On June 30th, 2003 on Raw from the HSBC Arena in Buffalo, New York, you lost your women's championship to Gail Kim, who just made her debut in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, but if you go back and rewind the tape, I think over the top. I never lost the title.
So that part was planned?
Yes, it was, yeah. Finn had everything set up to where when I make my return, so I was supposed to be out just for a little while just to rest. I had a dislocated shoulder. And, yeah, it was set up that way. And there's a reason I use Ann Steele.
Well, I'm glad you're letting people know about that, because I always did wonder why you never got a return match against Gil Kim for the belt.
Uh-huh.
On November 1st, 2004, in Sunday Night Heat, this was from the Civic Center in Peoria, Illinois, you and Molly Holly defeated Victoria and Nydia in what would be your last match. What led to you leaving the company?
Just, you know, when you start expressing your real feelings, you know, a lot of times people don't like that. My life, my career. So, basically, you know, they allow only certain people to voice their opinions on things. You can't tell me no bullshit about creative, don't have anything for you. Bullshit. Bullshit.
You just knew something was up and you called him out on it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it doesn't happen overnight. They drag it out a little while, but you can just tell. You know, you can read people. Been around a long time. That's why I hate it when people think they can just bullshit me with a bunch of lies, you know? I hate it today. I hate it. Be real with me.
That's a good thing for social media, too. There's a lot of rumors on the internet, and that way you could clarify what's true and what's not.
I've never really been about all that. Even with MySpace, it took me probably a year and a half for me even to get MySpace, you know? Just really, you know, like, I have a life, you know, so it's hard for me to even get the time to post anything. God, you practically have to live on that thing, and I can't. I have a husband, I have kids, I have a job, I wrestle, run wrestling tools. I mean, if I put a post out a week, I've done great.
And then on June 7th, 2006, you made your return to wrestle Mickie James on the ECW show.
Well, first of all, I didn't know it was going to be my last match. You know, they don't tell you that shit now before the match. It's just, why would I even show up, you know? So you just go out there, and it's my return, so you go out there and shit, give it your all. Which I think Mickie and I could have had a better match. I think time got cut on our match. I really do, if I recall right. Time got cut. And you know, we just went out there. Bam. That's it.
So what led to you joining the National Wrestling Alliance?
Well, I had kind of stopped wrestling for a little while. And was focusing on just working. I was in law enforcement at the time, working at a jail. I wanted to complete the police academy, which I did. And out of the blue, I got a phone call asking about being a part of NWA. And of course, I hesitated for a second. I'm like, man, I don't want to go back to full-time wrestling. I really don't. You know, I was like, no, you don't have to be full-time. Just, you know, get your bookings. It's basically on you, how much you want to work. It's like, all right. So they convinced me. I'm glad they did. I had, you know, a hell of a run with the NWA. You know, I hate the way things went for me in the end, but you know, unfortunately, shit happened.
It's pretty crazy that you got to hold the NWA Women's Championship for 948 days. You hadn't seen those kind of title reigns since the Fabulous Moolah and Leilani Kai.
I probably would still have it. I don't know. You know, or if not, it would have been some great rematches. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, you had a health scare that ended your title reign. Did you want to go ahead and address what happened?
Yeah, I had went to get another job. I had to go take a physical, drug screen, and all that. And when my lab work came back, it showed I had some issues going on, you know, internally. So that kind of freaked me out a little bit, scared me, and it got worse, you know. I didn't say anything for a while. I was having an issue for a while. I didn't say anything, but it got to the point that where, like, I had to take care of it. You know, again, mother, wife, you know, I had to focus on me for a while. So I had to do what I had to do. I had to take some time off and see about it. And, of course, I had the job, which allowed me to have insurance, so I didn't want to mess that up either. But basically, that's it. You know, I just had some personal issues going on with me, with my health, and I had to make it priority so I can be here for my babies.
How do you feel right now?
Actually, I feel pretty good right now. Honestly, you know what? I went and had lab work done probably 4 weeks ago. And that's when clarified that everything was clear and good. They had put me on some medicine, and it kind of damaged my hair a little bit. And I was like, you know what? I may be done with wrestling anyway, so I'm just going to shave it all off. So that's why I shaved it.
You're Jazz. You can do anything.
That's what I said. I said, then if I asked me about it, I was like, it takes a bad some bitch to shave her head.
It had to be awkward for you at first, though.
It was a big adjustment. Oh, my God. Like, for I think for 2 weeks, I wore a hat every day. Like, I would not take my hat off until it was time to go to bed. Oh, my God. I was petrified. But I'm used to it now. And all the wrestling fans seem to love it. So I'm like, hell, they love it. Why can't I?
I think it's because of Black Panther, how the women were portrayed in that.
Exactly. Exactly. You're sure right about that.
Well, I'm glad everything worked out. I hope we can get that match between you and Sienna.
Yes, we shall see. You know, like I said, I'll be ready, you know, to debut and showcase and do my thing. Have some fun and let people see. You know what? I'm turning 47 on the 27th of August. So, that being said, I think I'm doing damn good. To be 47, wrestling, I could wrap. You know, up until 6 months ago, I was wrestling every damn weekend, 2 or 3 times a weekend. So, yeah, I think I'm okay for average set 47-year-old.
Now, you are making your comeback at All Out in the Battle Royal.
Yes, yes. That's when everyone will see the bitch. The female fighting female will be full of the fag, baby.
Now, I'm going to get a lot of questions about this from my followers, but people are going to ask me, is this just a one-off, or did you sign a deal with them?
I am not going to discuss that right now.
Who were your closest gal pals in WWE?
Oh, wow. Gal pals? Well, you know, it was a handful of us. So, everybody just did their own thing. You know, we had our space. You know, that was our time to have our space. Every now and then, we would have like a slumber party. Every now and then, a slumber party, but not often. And then, every now and then, maybe two of us have made, like, I've shared a room with Molly a few times, so travel with her. Ivory a few times, Monday night you got a 5 o'clock flight. Why go spend money on the room? Somebody got a room, like, oh, you mind if I just bunk out with you for a few hours? Basically just take a shower, change clothes. By the time you get to the hotel, it's 2 o'clock. You gotta leave at 3. Or you get to the hotel at 1 and leave at 3, you know? But, yeah. But the majority of the time, we all did our own thing. We did our own thing.
How'd you get the baddest bitch moniker?
One night when I was in the ring wrestling, it just came out.
What would you say is your favorite match?
Yeah, I would say Mania, when I retained my title. That's probably the biggest night of my life.
How much longer do you see yourself in the ring?
Not much longer. Like I said, I'm turning 47. I'm not going till I'm 50. You know, I may have me a birthday match, celebrate my 50th birthday or something, and that would be a match. It would just be maybe doing a run-in or a walk-in. But I don't know, not long. Not long. Not long at all.
How do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as a lady that achieved everything by doing it the right way. I didn't have to sleep around. you know, with anyone, I did everything the right way. I didn't have to kiss ass, suck ass, you know, I did it the right way. Especially for the up-and-coming women that's trying to pursue their dream, you know, don't be a follower, be a leader.
How can fans follow you on social media?
On Twitter, I'm at phenom_jazz, at phenom_jazz. Facebook is Carlene Begno Shoot Fame. I have 3 or 4 accounts, but the one I actually have, the one I'm actually on, is the one with the bee and the mask, with the longer hair. I got to update that picture, too. Unfortunately, I'm not on Snapchat or Instagram. I'm not on any of that because I barely have time to tweet and check Facebook. But those are the two ways you can reach out to me. For any booking inquiries, please reach out to book.phenomjazz@gmail.com. Also, Rodney Mack and myself were involved in a tag team trio called The Perfect Enemy. It's another buddy of ours called named Jacob Sliskin. We are The Perfect Enemy. You can see pictures. I've posted many pictures of us on Facebook and Twitter. So be sure to check it out. There will be matches or clips of matches of Perfect Enemy posted here very soon. Check it out. Show us some love. We appreciate everyone for the love and the respect and the support. Keep it up. We love you. God bless.
All right, well, I appreciate you taking the time to cover your illustrious career with me.
Oh, my God, Larry. You hit me up, brother. Yes. I had to put on a thinking cap. I wasn't prepared for all that. You started in 1999, worked yourself all the way up to 2004, 6, then went to 2016, 18, 19, like, oh my God. That was good shit though, bro.
Thank you, and you have yourself a good night.
Be safe. All right, you too.